As we prepare to look at the theme of prayer this morning, let's turn together to hymn number 3 and stand and sing together, God our Father, we adore thee. Hymn number 3, let's stand. Do you adore Jesus this morning? Before we have our scripture reading, I would like to remind you of the 2 days, Thursday and Friday, of spiritual renewal here on our campus. And we'll have a group from Woodstock Baptist Church in Woodstock, Georgia. And we hope everyone will come. Heck, we just want to have your Bible, don't we? Amen? I hope we do. Dr. Worrell will be preaching from Exodus chapter 32 this morning, but I will be reading from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, suppose one of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me, the door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we do adore you this morning, and Father, we thank you so much that we are able to gather here and hear your word, and we're able to gather here and send petitions to you and to pray for others, Lord. Father, we thank you for everyone who traveled over the holidays, that you brought them back here safely. And Father, we pray for many in the next couple weeks who will be under a lot of stress. It's a hectic time here on our campus. But Father, we just pray that you give us peace, and Father, you give us comfort, and you teach us a great deal, Lord. Father, we thank you for the chance to be in school here, and Father, we pray that we'll be good stewards of our time. And Father, we know that includes spending time in prayer. Father, we love you. Father, give us a burden to pray. Jesus, just teach us this morning as we hear your word. It's in your precious name that we pray now. Amen.
When Moses came down from the Sinai experience, he was met halfway up the mountain by Joshua, his faithful co-worker. Moses had been troubled with what God had told him, but he kept his troubles to himself, and the two walked on side by side and silently. Moses held to his chest the 2 tablets of stone on which were written the 10 commandments, as if to find in them the solace and the strength for the hour that was to come. When they came to the foothills, they heard the noise and the tumult down in the valley. Joshua, tense with a sense of danger, said, it is the sound of war that I hear. And Moses replied, no, it is not the shout of victory nor the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that we hear. They walked on and finally came to the ridge of the plateau where they could see into the valley of where the people were camped. And Moses was shocked by what he saw. He saw the people clad in multicolored robes, dancing around a golden calf. He stood there motionless for what seemed to be an eternity. It seemed as if he himself had been hewn out of stone. Finally, he was convulsed into action. He took those 2 tablets of stone and he threw them toward the heavens as if to say, return unto where you came from. The stones fell down and shattered into 1,000 fragments. Then, like a whip of flame, Moses cut his way into the congregation. He went directly to the calf, the golden calf. He took it, burned it, ground it into dust, and cast it on a lake. He commanded the children to drink as a sign of repentance. Then he stood at the gate of the people and said, "Let him who is on the Lord's side come unto me." Immediately, the sons of Levi came to his side, and he said again, "Let the leaders of this mischief be put to death." Immediately, swords were flashing, heads were rolling. The royal red blood of the children of God was oozing out onto the yellow sand. And now the singing was exchanged for sobs and the sounds of death rattles. This brings us then to our text that we want to read to you together, found in Exodus chapter 32, where Moses stands before his people and he said to them, "You have committed a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make an atonement for your sin." So Moses went back to the Lord and said, "Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now, please forgive their sin." And there's a dash there and a long pause. "But if not, then blot me out of the book which you have written." I can imagine Moses waiting there quietly, wondering if he were going to be zapped by a bolt of lightning. But the Lord replied to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now, Moses, you go, lead the people to the place that I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sins." This, in Exodus chapter 32, is a perfect illustration of intercessory prayer. And a great saint of the past has suggested that one of the greatest ministries in which a Christian can participate is the ministry of intercession. Another person has suggested that intercessory prayer is like a guided missile. It will hit the target anywhere in the world. So it's exciting for you and I to know that here we are in Wake Forest, and we can pray for our missionaries in Japan, Bob Culpepper, and we can pray for the missionaries in China and in Asia and South America, and our prayers will hit the target. But instead of praying for our missionaries in far-off countries, because our renewal is just right around the corner, begins on the 29th and 30th, we need to pray. We need to aim these missiles of intercessory prayer at our own seminary and our own people. Now, the Bible tells us that and encourages us to pray for all kinds of people. In James chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible encourages us to pray for the sick. And there are always sick among us as seminary students. And we need to pray for one another that God would heal us. And the Bible in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, indicates that we ought to pray for laborers. "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he might send laborers into his field." And we ought to pray for one another here at the seminary that we could become soul winners and harvesters to go out into the fields that are white unto harvest. But in this particular text, the Bible indicates that we need to pray for those people among us whose faith has faltered. If you have your Bibles, if you'll look at the very first of Exodus chapter 32, you'll note that the people turn to Aaron and they say, "Come, make us gods who will go before us." Can you imagine that? Listen, these children of Israel had seen the omnipotent arm of God bring the 10 plagues to the nation of Egypt. They had seen God deliver them out of the land of bondage. They had seen him open up the sea, the Red Sea. They had seen him deliver them across the waters. They had seen him close the waters on Pharaoh's army. They had witnessed all of these things about the one great true God. And now, after Moses has been up in the mountains for 40 days, just 40 days, they come to Aaron and say, "Who is this fellow Moses? Where is he? Make us gods who will go before us." Their faith in the one true God had begun to falter. Could that ever happen to us here at the seminary? I think it could. We read all of our books on ethics and theology and philosophy of religion and pastoral ministry and homiletics, and sometimes we're not sure enough to read God's Word itself. In all of the reading, we get away from God's Word. And with all the God talk and all that we're taught, if we're not careful, in this great place, it's possible for us to drift away from the Lord, to get cold, to lose our fervor, to lose our warmth for God, to see our faith in Him begin to falter. And we need to pray for one another. For some of us have faltered in our faith. We need to pray for those who need to be forgiven of sin. In Exodus chapter 32, that was the main point of Moses' prayer. He went to God and he said, God, these are your people, but they have sinned. Please forgive them. And at the seminary, we can say, God, these are your people. Have we ever sinned? Do we need forgiveness? Are we human? Or are we angels? Or are we perfect? No, even seminarians need to be forgiven of sin. We need to be forgiven when we fail to measure up to our greatest potential. Can you imagine these people, the children of God, not measuring up to the potential that they had here in the desert to be all that they ought to be? And you're coming up to the finals, and listen, if you can make an A and you make a B, if you can make a B and you make a C, that's a sin. You've missed the mark of your fullest potential. If you're a mediocre preacher or a mediocre Christian, we've failed to measure up. We need to pray for one another that we might receive forgiveness for failing to be our best for God. And we need to pray for those who yield to the sins of the flesh. Now, the reason that Moses was shocked was because of what he saw the people doing. These people were participating in what the scripture says. They were indulging in revelry. And in verse 25, it says that Moses saw the people who were running wild, and that Aaron had let them get out of control, and that they were the laughing stock of their enemies. And one scholar has suggested that they had come to the place where they were participating in ritual adultery. And need I remind you of Jim Baker, or Jimmy Swaggart, or the former pastor of the First Baptist Church of Jackson, Mississippi, or the former pastor of Prestonwood Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas? And on we could go. Need I remind you that here in this seminary, being human, we yield to those temptations of lust. And perhaps we go even farther. We lack power because of the sins of the flesh, and we need to pray for one another that we'd get control of ourselves and that we might be forgiven of the sins of the flesh. I think we need to pray for those who need to be forgiven for subtly yielding to the temptation to criticize and disrespect our leaders here at the seminary. Well, now that's what they did here in Israel. They said, this fellow Moses. They were critical of Moses. God called leader. They were disrespectful of him. You know what I think? I think instead of disrespecting and criticizing our president of the seminary, we would do better to pray for him. You know what I think? I think rather than disrespecting and criticizing our professors on every hand, we'd do better to pray for them. And who is not guilty of this sin? We need to pray for one another. that we would be forgiven of the sin of bitterness and criticism and respect. Do we need a revival? I think we do. We need to pray for one another. And we need to pray for those who lie. I've never seen anything like it in my life here in this particular passage. The children come to Aaron and said, "Make us gods of gold." Aaron says, "Bring me your gold earrings." And they did. And he melted them. And it says he fashioned them with him, this golden idol, with a tool. And then Moses asks him about that. And in verse 24, listen to what he said. "They gave me gold. I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf." If that's not a lie, I've never heard one. He told a falsehood. And I hate to report this, but when I was director of evangelism for the state of Missouri, our state church training union director was terminated and fired because he lied. He was a perpetual liar. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, we can get involved in insinuations and lies. One of the most disillusioning things in my entire life is to see a prominent Christian leader telling lies. And if these are involved in that, maybe you and I are. We need to pray for one another that we would come to the place where we could see ourselves as we are, see ourselves as what God wants us to be. We need to pray for one another that we'd come to the place where we can confess those sins that make us powerless. And we need to pray, "Oh God, forgive them and us of our sins." And in this passage of Scripture, we have three keys to successful intercession. We are to pray for others. And this Scripture tells us that we're to pray persistently. Actually, the book of Deuteronomy is a rehash or a rehearsal by Moses of what happened in Exodus and the wilderness wandering. So in Deuteronomy chapter 9, Moses is reviewing what happened in Exodus chapter 32. And in the process, he said, in verse 18, chapter 9 of Deuteronomy, "Then once again I fell prostrate before the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. My, he kept on praying for these people. Now, those of the students among us that have made a desire, made a commitment to pray until revival comes to this seminary, don't give up. Keep on praying. Be persistent. We need to pray persistently. Tomorrow night we have an all-night prayer meeting. Can we humble ourselves to come to that and to pray earnestly? And we need to pray specifically. And in one of the verses here that follows, Moses said, "And the Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him, but at that time I prayed for Aaron too. It may be that it took Moses so long to pray for his people because he prayed for them by name." And we need to pray for each other by name. "Lord, I pray specifically for this person that they might be healed from that specific disease. And I pray specifically for this person that they might be restored from backsliding and hypocrisy," and on and on. We need to pray specifically, and we need to pray sincerely. Moses went to God and said, "Lord, forgive these people of their sins. And if you won't, just blot me out of thy book of life. Blot me out." And there's a poem that says, "I often say my prayers, but do I really pray? Do the wishes of my mouth go with the words I say? I might as well kneel down and worship gods of stone as offer to the living God a prayer of words alone. For words without the heart the Lord will never hear, nor will he to those lips attend whose prayers are not sincere. We need to pray persistently and specifically and sincerely, and then we need to be assured that our intercessory prayer works. God honors prayer. That's evident is by the fact that God said to Moses, I'll deal with my people in my own way, but now I've heard your prayer, and now you go and lead this people on into the land, and I will send an angel before you. Talk about answered prayer. That is answered prayer. And on one occasion, when I was pastor in Fort Worth, we had a young teenage girl who was involved in an automobile accident. She was riding a bicycle, and an automobile struck her. They rushed her to the hospital, sewed up the lacerations. They mended the broken bones, but she didn't come out of a coma. She didn't come out, and finally they said, if she ever wakes up, she'll be nothing but a vegetable. But our church wouldn't accept that. We began to pray for Ann Fort. We prayed for her, and finally she turned into a raving maniac. And I'll never forget, when I would go to see her in the hospital, my hair would stand up on the back of my neck, because she would reach out with gnarled hands and scream as if to say, I want to say something, but I cannot communicate. And then they put her down on the floor, and they made her creep and crawl like a baby. And they beamed light into her eyes and sound into her ears. And finally, she started coming out of the land of unconsciousness. And they put her on a balancing board, and she was able to stand up. And then they began to teach her to walk. And finally, 1 year later, after our church had prayed and prayed and prayed for her, Ann Fort was in our service on Sunday night. The invitation was given. She started walking down that aisle ever so slow, limping all the way. I never will forget. I thought she'd never get there. So I went out to her, and I said, Ann, why have you come? She said, Pastor, I've come to thank the church for praying for me, for praying me out of the land of unconsciousness. And Pastor, while I've had time to recuperate, I've come to the conclusion that I've never made a decision to accept Christ as Savior. And though I was a member of the church, I wasn't saved. And tonight, I give my heart to Jesus. What if our church had failed to pray? And what if we failed to pray for this renewal and this revival? Alfred Lord Tennyson put it this way. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Wherefore, let thy voice, like a fountain, rise before me both day and night. For what are men more than sheep and goats that nourish a blind life in the brain, if knowing God, they do not lift their hands in prayer, both for themselves and for those who call them friends. I'd like for you just to bow for a word of prayer now. And, you know, so many times we can plan a renewal and we can have the program for renewal and revival, but it comes and goes and we don't experience it. No one wants that to happen. I wonder right now if you just make a commitment of your life to pray. Pray for this revival and renewal. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. When we say pray for the renewal, pray for the seminary, we're saying let's pray for one another. None of us have come to the place where we want to be in Jesus. None of us have reached. It's like Paul who says, forgetting the things of the past, I haven't achieved. There's yet room for improvement. Let's pray for one another. Would you make that commitment? And I don't know, you may not know about the revival. You may not know about this. It may just be something that's on the calendar and you couldn't care, but you could. But look, couldn't we commit ourselves this morning to pray for others and each other? And look, if you would join with me to say, look, I will pray for the revival, and I will pray for my fellow students. I will pray for my professors. I will pray for my president. I will pray that this could really mean something, could be something. If you would commit yourself to pray for each other and for this renewal and revival, would you just stand with me wherever you are, all over this auditorium? You say, I'll pray for this revival. Now, don't do it unless you really mean it. I'll pray for this revival. I'll pray for others. Yes, thank you. I will pray. Well, our Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come. And in the realization that we're not all that we could be, we pray for this renewal. Come among us. Ferret out the sin and the faltering and all that it involves. Touch your people once again. It's in His name that we pray, and for His sake do we ask it. Amen, and God bless you.